In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we see an example of faith today. And also, Jesus telling someone to have faith. He didn't tell the woman to have faith. He commended her for it. But he did tell Jairus to believe, because he was having trouble believing that his daughter could really be saved after he'd already been told that she was dead. Now, the Lord meets a man, Jairus, along the way, who is a ruler of the synagogue. He has a 12-year-old daughter who is dying. And in those days, when a person was dying, it didn't take long. So time was of the essence. He knew that he had healed many people. So he goes to him and begs him to come to his daughter and to heal her. This reminds me of the story of Cornelius, the centurion. He also asked for the healing of someone he loved dearly, a servant. But he felt himself unworthy to even come to Jesus. Instead, he sent an emissary with a note saying that all he needs to do is speak the word and he would be healed. Well, Jairus didn't have this type of faith, even though he was a ruler of the synagogue, and Cornelius wasn't even a Jew, but he had good faith. And later on, he would be converted, of course, become equal to the apostles. But Jairus didn't have this sort of faith. And so the Lord would test his faith. Now, he said he would come and heal her. So he starts going. But there are many people all about, thronging him, pressing upon him, screaming his name, asking him things, pushing. So the going is very slow. This must be torturous to the heart of Jairus, because time is of the essence. And in the midst of all this happening, a woman comes up and touches the garments of Christ, one of dozens who had touched his garments, but she touched with a purpose. And she was healed of her infirmity of bleeding. When a person bled, they could not go to the temple. So for 12 years, this woman had a condition of bleeding, so that she could never go to the temple. She was almost an outcast among her own nation, because people would say, well, it must be God's judging her that she's in such a state. So she was almost like a leper. So when the Lord healed her, he brought her back into communion with him so that she could go to the temple and pray and offer thanksgiving and supplication and have recourse to God's mercy. Well, she was healed privately. No one knew of it, but the Lord knew of it. So he says, someone has touched me. Now, that's a rather strange statement to make when there are dozens of people that are touching you and pushing against you. Someone has touched me? Peter and all the apostles were rather surprised and perplexed by this, and they all said, Lord, how can you say someone has touched you? A lot of people have touched you. But he said something that only God can say. No, I perceive that power has come out of me. Now, when the saints pray and people are healed, they certainly don't say power comes out of them. They say by the grace of God the person was healed. We supplicate the Lord to do all good. We don't do good ourselves. We do good because of him helping us. But the Lord didn't say this. He said, power has come out of me, because I'm God. And I have the authority to heal, and the authority to say that I can heal. So the woman realizes she's discovered. Now, she had a disease that was embarrassing. That most people want to talk about their private diseases and their private functions? Do most people want to lay bare before everyone their infirmities? Certainly not. But this woman had faith. She had been healed because of faith, because she touched with a purpose. And so, when she realized she was discovered, she went to the Lord, and before everyone, confessed this embarrassing detail of her life, and that she was healed. The Lord commended her for her faith. Faith was that she had, not just that she believed she'd be healed, but her humility, her honesty, integrity. So the Lord told her, "You may go in peace." She was healed. Now, this took time. Jairus is waiting. His daughter is dying. And indeed, it took enough time that his daughter had already died. Now, it seems to me that when one of the ruler's servants comes up to him, it's like a kind of like an aside, kind of a whisper in the ear. "Don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter just died. She's already dead." But the Lord, who hears all things and sees all things, he overheard. So what does he say to Jairus? He says, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Now we should investigate what "believe only" means. There are those who call themselves Christians who say all you need to do is believe and you'll be saved. If you believe, you're saved. Well, belief is not just intellectual assent. It's not just saying, "I say this thing is true." Belief is acting according to what you say is true. If we believe in God, and we say we do in the beginning of the creed, right? "I believe in one God, the Father Almighty." Even just saying that much, if we say it with honesty, means that we want to live as God tells us to live. Because if we say that God is great, and God is above all things, and ruler of all things, and all good flows from Him, then in our hearts we should desire to follow Him in every way. So when the Lord says, "Believe only," He's not saying, "Only believe." He's saying, "Live as a Christian. Live according to virtue. If you live in this way, your daughter will be healed, and greater things than these will you see." It's a great heresy in our day that we can believe and be saved. Faith being separated from struggle, from works, from desire, from priorities. It was never this way. The Lord never said this. He said very much the opposite. We must struggle to live a virtuous life. Then we will have all blessings upon us. Now, we must struggle as far as whether we're capable or not. God allows us this ability in His time, according to His purpose. He only requires that we struggle. He gives us the victory. So it's not necessary to be perfect to inherit the kingdom of heaven. It is necessary to try to be perfect, to desire to be perfect. God came to make us able to be perfected. In fact, the epistle says something to this effect. The Apostle Paul says, "He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the laws of commandments contained in ordinances, to making himself of twain one new man, so making peace." What is he saying here? He's saying that the Lord Jesus Christ came to earth, became man, so that our flesh would be able to be perfected. He perfected His flesh. He made us capable of perfecting our flesh. But we have to follow the same path He followed. We don't have to heal and have virtue come out of us, because we have no virtue. But we do have to follow his path of struggle, of humility, of prayer, of fasting, of compassion, of having the right priorities. Every moment of our Lord's life on the earth, he had one purpose. He was born in order that he might die, to save us. From the moment he was born, his face was already set to Jerusalem. Can we say that our face is set to Jerusalem? Can we say that we think of the heavenly city that we shall someday abide in? And everything we do, all of our actions, are such that we would bring ourselves closer to this city? Or are we distracted by much things? The Lord said to Jairus, "Fear not, believe only." Belief and action are the same. As we live virtuously, fear disappears. This is sort of a golden nugget of Christianity that so few people understand. As we live virtuously, fear disappears. We fully believe. We're fully at peace. The Lord gives us joy beyond our comprehension. But only if we live according to what he has taught us. Otherwise, we cannot say that we are believers. Believers of Christ are followers of Christ. And obey him. So they come to the house. The daughter's dead. People are already beginning to mourn her. And he says, "She's not dead. She's sleeping." That was a true statement. No, she was truly dead, as a human being would be dead. There was no life in her. There was no breath in her. But to the Lord, death is like sleep. From the Lord's perspective, she was sleeping. From our perspective, she was dead. But for the Lord, death is only sleep. It has no power over him. Because it has no power over him, it need not have power over us. That is, if we live in him. And they laughed him to scorn because they knew she was dead. Well, they didn't understand. St. Mark gives us a little more detail about how he heals her. He says, "I say to thee, arise." And he took her by the hand, and she immediately had her life come back within her. Soul reunited with the body, and she was alive. The Lord can heal. The Lord said, "Virtue has come out of me," to heal the woman. And the Lord said, "I say to thee, arise." The Lord has this power. Now we know these things. We know that the Lord can heal. I think the primary, the most important thing in our lives that I see missing in many of our lives, in my own, is that we don't apply this knowledge that the Lord can heal, that the Lord can raise, to ourselves. We believe the stories from the gospel, from Old Testament times, from the lives of the saints. But somehow, this power of the Lord doesn't apply to us in our mundane problems, in our habits, in our sins which we cannot conquer, in our difficulties in relationships or our fears about the future. Doesn't apply to us somehow. What the Lord gave us through his teaching of Jairus, the way in order to have this apply. Fear not, believe only. All you need to do is trust the Lord. Read the Gospels. Read from the Old Testament times. Read the lives of the saints. The Lord is very trustworthy. He's never let us down. Time and time again, unworthy people have been helped. If you read Numbers and don't believe that the Lord is merciful, then you're not reading the same book I've read. The Lord will help us, but we have to believe. We have to struggle to be Christians. That's the key to having faith, brothers and sisters. To have that blessed assurance in your heart. The Lord will give you that kind of assurance that you can cry, Abba, Father. When a child cries out, Abba, Father, to his child, to his daddy, he knows that his father loves him, would never hurt him, will always be there for him. But we have to have that assurance. The only way to gain it is to fear not, but believe. Live as Christians. That's the key. Now, the woman with the issue of blood, she had this kind of faith. I think there's a deep mystery involved that I don't quite understand. That the woman had an issue of blood 12 years. And the daughter was 12 years old. Jairus had 12 years of joy with his beloved daughter. And for all of those 12 years, the woman suffered and prayed and paid physicians and begged the Lord and had no relief. But she did not despair. She still believed. And her suffering was alleviated. Jairus had 12 years of joy. And then he had perhaps 12 minutes, perhaps 2 hours of intense suffering. But this suffering helped his faith. So brothers and sisters, if you have any suffering, let it help your faith. Believe. Believe by living the Christian life so that it's real to you in every way. So that it permeates your soul. Then you'll have no trouble believing that you can be raised. You'll have no trouble believing that your sins can be washed out, away. That you can be strengthened so that you don't have the bad habits that you currently have, that they will someday be taken, be completely healed. And any other trouble you have in your life, you believe that the Lord can touch this trouble and make it go away according to His will, according to His providence. Let's listen to the Lord's words. Let's believe and not be afraid. Amen.